Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Ty with Warrior for Truth Radio Network, and this is our show coming back on called The Solution. And I got my boy Murph online. I got a few other friends that that are coming in. And tonight, we're basically, it's called, our show tonight is called Truth for Truth's Sake. And tonight's actual, that's the series, but tonight's show is actually called Black in a Box. And what we're talking about is, we're talking about, we're basically talking about all this fight over, you know, the people in the Bible, whether Jesus was black, whether he was white, and, you know, the new movie coming out, Exodus, that's out, and you have a lot of black people. A lot of white people there and starring in the movie, but it's funny how they actually have black people that are serving, you know, as far as Hollywood is concerned. And so, you know, just wanted to go over those things. So, but we're gonna be talking about that, and we're gonna be using biblical references to help us out. But I got my boy Murph on. How you doing, Murph?
Doing good, man. How you doing tonight, everybody? Happy to be back.
I know that's right. I know that's right. We got my boy Jay. Jay is he's headed back.
Hello?
Jay?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Hello?
Hello.
There you go.
Jay, you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, all right. Y'all sound enthusiastic. I mean, y'all sound down and depressed. Y'all all right?
I'm down, bro.
I ain't down at all.
I'm not down.
We're gonna talk about, like I said, today's show is Black in the Box, and we're discussing the whole issue about how things really were in the Bible. And you know, we're going to go back using some scriptures, and we're going to see, you know, who were the children, who were the Hebrews, and you know, how were things back then, and what did we look like, and, you know, or what did they look like, rather. And so I guess I just really wanted to kind of kick it off and just I don't know. I just had a question, and I want y'all to answer it. You know, how black was the Bible, fellas? I guess I want to start it off with that. You know, how black was the Bible?
Well, how black was the Bible? Wow, that's kind of...
Or should I say, what did they look like? You know, that's what I should say. What did they look like?
You mean blacks in the Bible? Well, you know, man, that was you worded that question right there. But I would say, since I'm pressing time up here, guys, I just want everybody to know, Ty, you know, I'm at work, so if I dip in and out, that's why. But I'll go ahead and say what I got to say about that question.
Go ahead,
I might
do
that. But, yeah, we were definitely God's chosen people, not to make a difference in any other nationality. But when we see God using us to show the rest of the world his wrath, you'll see that we were placed in, you know, in bondage. And Hebrews were black. You know, they were dark complexion. But there were different shades of blacks. And so in the Bible, we'll see what Moses was scrutinized because he married an Ethiopian woman. But he himself was black. He was drawn from the Nile. And the significance of him being drawn from the Nile was the historians were told of a deliverer of a descendant of the Hebrew nation. Well, the Hebrew nation was a nation of dark complexion skin. So when you talk about God's chosen people, let me clear this up. We are all God's chosen people through the dispensation of Jesus Christ. That's why we now have the Gentiles. But there were a specific group that God started with, and that it was the black race.
Mm-hmm. You know, I say this though. It you know, when I was younger, I used to wonder, because I used to think that I used to say, man, you know, it has to be something.
Something.
You know, it just has to be, you know, something. Because, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you look around and we're just getting, you know, pummeled. And you know, when you think, you're like, man, you know, the hatred that people have for us, this ain't, you know, this is spiritual. This is not even natural for people to hate, you know, people like this. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I just always thought that. I always, you know, wondered, like, man. And I don't know, fellas. I mean, you know, when you talk about, Murph was talking about Moses. And in the Bible, it talks about how, the Egyptians were hard to, you could hardly tell between the Egyptians and the Hebrews. And I mean, when you think about it, you have proof of that. You have Jesus, when he was born, he lived in Egypt for 4 years. You know, you have Moses, as Murphy mentioned, you have Moses. And you know, I mean, here it is. I don't know, fellas. You know, it just, it's kind of like, here it is. You have all this proof. And then, you know, to me, when you ask white Christians, what do y'all think about this? And then they go, well, you know, shouldn't we just, it shouldn't matter. And you, heck, there's a lot of Christians that would even say that, like, it shouldn't matter. And so, I mean, you know, what do y'all think about that? Because my thing is that it mattered to somebody to change the complexion. So it's kind of like, you know, I mean, should we care?
Man, that's like me saying my parents are not important because I don't know who my parents are. My existence is still in history. So
right.
I need to know who my parents is. You know, I didn't just come from air. You know, I didn't just appear.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to say that that's not important to know where we come from is to say that, you know, we need to know so that we can have a balance. And that's what's wrong with black people now. And I'm going to say it, we got identity crisis because we don't know who we are as a people. We don't know where we come from. Every other nationality know their culture. They know the origin. You know, and what's sad about that is they even know our culture.
I mean the white Christians, though, on behalf of a white Christian. You know what I mean? On behalf of a white Christian.
You're saying that it's not important?
Yeah, they say, you know, I've had some tell me that, you know, that's really not important. I mean, isn't Christ the center? And it's kind of like it's easy for you to say because they got Christ looking like your complexion. And I'm going to say and this is well-documented history. The Jesus that we see now was Caesar Borgia. And what Caesar Borgia was, you know, his father was the Pope of Rome, and he pretty much was a king at one time. You know, that's pretty much, he didn't have a king title, but that's pretty much what the clout that he had. And I'll say that when it comes to his boyfriend was Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So he drew Jesus as Caesar Borgia. So when we see that white or Italian-looking Jesus in our mind, that's what we're looking at, Caesar Borgia. We're not looking at, you know, someone, you know, a true depiction of Jesus, because actually in, I believe, the 1600s, they had, the Catholics had a true depiction of Jesus, and he was dark, you know. And so, like I said, you know, there's so many things that we could get into when it comes to who were the Hebrews, who the true Hebrews. And I'm not. And when we say this, people, we're not coming from a Hebrew Israelite type of situation. We're not talking about that. We're just. And what's sad is that they actually, they actually speak some truth, but the best lie is hidden between two truths. So, you know, that a lot of their ways aren't, you know, anything that we agree with. However, they do have some truth in what they're talking about. And that's something that, for whatever reason, especially the black church, they don't ever want to deal with anything of that nature. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, when people talk about the black church, it's over. And to me, it's something that's just, overrated. You know, the black church has actually hurt us in a lot of ways when it comes to women and men coming together as husband and wife. You know, that's been hindered. And, you know, when you even go all the way back to, you know, Margaret Sanger, you know, that's, it's just a whole, you know, they use nothing but the black church. And so, you know, it's kind of like, my thing is that the black church is not really, I don't know. I think the black church was created by the enemy, in my opinion. I just think that what we need is we just need plain good leaders, you know, to help us, you know, and to bring us to Christ. Because the black church hadn't talked about abortion. I mean, that's the number one thing. That's genocide right there, is abortion. You have all these black churches, and then you have dope houses right across the street, and everybody knows this. Everybody knows what street they can, you know, everybody knows the street or neighborhood they can stand on, and they can point out five churches on every, you know, they can sit there and stand in the middle and point out five churches, you know, on any given intersection in a black community. But there's still crime, there's still people going hungry, you know, and I don't think that's cool. However, to get to dial it back, you know, the whole thing of it is we need to be, I believe we have to be different, and we have to say, you know what, you know, let's go ahead and let's go ahead and talk about things the black church doesn't. Let's talk about where we came from. You know, the black churches, a lot of times, they even shy away from that. You're thinking, this is a black church. Why would you shy away from whether Jesus was black or not? Because they're in it to entertain you. They're in it to make you feel good. They're not in it to talk about some of the heavy things that you need to talk about. And I think that our people need to understand, to get better, we have to hear a lot about ourselves. We have to hear a lot about ourselves, you know, and we, you know, in order to get better. You can't just, you know, dance your way into heaven. You know what I'm saying? If you know anything about training, you know, or working out, you know that it's gonna go through a whole period of feeling bad, of
wow.
Beating your body up. You know, so
did
when
you
when you're
then?
Dealing with, you said what?
Did you just say it on the radio?
Yeah,
you
had
to go through something. They can't shout.
But you gotta beat your body up, man. You gotta, you know, you have to. Didn't Paul say you have to buffet? He buffets his body.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's the thing, man. We don't want to hear anything that's sad. You know, if you
talk
to our and our people, you're telling our people, hey, you know what? This is what we need to do. This is what we need to, you know, accomplish. But
yep.
You're going to have to go through some resistance. You're going to have to deny yourself over here. You're going to have to deny yourself over there. You know, I really want to talk about, too, who are the real Jews and who are not. And I think that we don't understand that we've been lied to. And all you see on TBN is you see a lot of people. See a lot of people just, you know, you got your John Hagee, and you have your, is everything all right over there?
I think you stuck a nerve with Jay, man.
That's what I said. Everything all right over there? Yeah. Come on now.
Did you say Hagee?
Yeah, you know John Hagee.
Yeah, I can't get with that dude.
I heard Murphy laughing at that. I'm hearing Jerome just like, oh. let me do this though first. Let me dial it all the way back and let me. You know, we're just in the show. We're just warming up here, but I have to start the show off with prayer. And Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Heavenly Father, for your name and for your power. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us to have this station and to be back on. And, Lord, we know that there was a lot of opposition that came our way to even get to this show or get to this point. But we just thank you, Jesus, that you cover us and that you minister to us and that you speak through us. And we give you all the glory, and we take none of it. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you that we were able to bless someone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
But I had to do that, man. And we got kind of a rocky start today, y'all. And if anybody wanna you know, jump in here with us, just push one and get on into the live. I think Anwar, I see you over there. You wanna, you know, make yourself live. You're already in the switchboard. Shout out to my boy Aaron. I see you looking, you're listening, rather. But anyway, I want to say that if when you look at the John Hagees and people at TBN and all this kind of stuff, that whole crew, you know, they're talking about these Jewish people or the so-called Jews right now. And it's weird because you had former President Jimmy Carter even admit that the Palestinians really are the ones that own that land. And it's just a trip that Americans have been duped to believe that Jewish people are the so-called Jews, you know, which were the Khazars that came over here from Russia, you know, and basically made their way over to Jerusalem by 1948. And so when you have a situation like this, you know, they can easily go and say, oh, well, you know, this is our land. And you know, it is weird because it's kind of like when you see a lot of the things that's bad and is going on, you see white people, you see Hispanic people, you see black people, but you never see any Jews or so-called Jews, those Zionist Jews, you never see them doing anything bad. You never hear about any of the things that they do. And they're always want to cover up any. I'm having some feedback from someone.
Yeah, it's not me.
My
monitor's off.
Mute up and let me see.
Okay.
Hello? Okay, it's you, Murph. But the thing
about
that. No, you're good now. But But, you know, the thing about it is that you have this situation to where, you know, you're telling people, you know, help the Jews, when really their DNA isn't, they don't even have the DNA of, it's a study that came out about 2 years ago, and that they said that the Palestinians have more of Abraham's DNA than the so-called Jews that live there now. And so, you know, but these are not the true Jews. They are not the true Jews. I mean, but, you know, it's kind of like if you say something, you know, if you tell a lie, you know, enough times, it'll turn into the truth. And so here it is, you have, and then you have, you know, Christians going around with the so-called Star of David, not understanding that star is the most satanic thing that you can make, because, or put on your body, because that's a perfect 666, because, you know, you got the 6 points on the outside, you got the 6 triangles on the inside, and you got 6 more triangles on the inside of that. So it's kind of like it's a 666, and anybody in the cult knows that that's a, you know, that's a very powerful deal, you know, that you can use for witchcraft, you know. So, yeah, you know, that whole thing came from the Rothschild. And so,
well, how about,
you know,
how about we deal with that for a minute, talk about believing a lie and hearing a lie so long until you believe it's the truth? Because I believe that's a lot of what we deal with when we talk about, even, like you said, even symbolism, seeing these different trinkets and necklaces or what have you. Like for instance, if we, all of us, if we would do our study, we would find out that Nimrod was a black man. And Nimrod was the first person to implement evil in the culture of history. And from that, God had to confuse the language of the people because he was the ruler. Nimrod ruled the world. He ruled the world.
Let me tell y'all something funny right quick. Somebody had just posted, it was a Christian person and a believer in Christ, and they posted, Nimrod was black. And it's kind of like, you know, I kind of don't want to claim that one. But I mean, even though it might be true, it's just like, I kind of don't want to claim, it's like, pump your brakes, sister. I mean, I don't want to claim that one. But anyway, it's true. But go ahead, Murph.
Yeah, because since you said that, I mean, it's like saying, Cain wasn't black because he committed a sin. He killed his brother. I mean, he's a black man. He's a black man. You know, we ain't always done the right thing, you know. And so, I mean, that's just like saying any race of people has never done wrong. You know, we all have done wrong. The Bible puts it best. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But once again, Nimrod was a black man, and God had to conspire the languages of the people so that they couldn't finish the Tower of Babel, which was also orchestrated by Nimrod. You know, he had the people working
too,
together.
You got to understand too. I had some background noise, fellas. Like something moving in the background.
Let me mute me and let me try it.
Sound like Jerome eating some chicken, son.
Nah, that's Anwar on that one.
Oh, man. Oh.
No, but the thing about it is that I just think, though, when it comes to going back to that Nimrod thing, what you were dealing with, too, back then was you were dealing with fallen angels giving wisdom to man, and you know, I know that some people might not be into this, and they might not see the Bible that way. But if you reach a Bible family and just dive into that word, you know, and it's not all about blessings and all of this all the time. It's not about entertainment. It's not about David dancing and all of that. You know, you have some real hardcore things, and in the second half of this, we're going to get into Deuteronomy, and we're going to talk about some of the things that, you know, we're going to talk about some of the things that, I don't know, that might be describing us as a people.
Because, yeah, you know, I can say this now that we don't live, be back on. There are some things that would shake the foundation of what people have been taught if they would really do their homework on history, even dealing with Nephilim and stuff like that, even as it pertains to what we're talking about. You know, there's been a lot of parallels ran into even race, you know, because of this, you know. But again, it would shake the foundation of what you believe because people just don't want to believe the truth of about history, or I like to call it culture, because culture's changed.
Well, you know, there's this thing. But see, there's this thing called cognitive dissonance, man, and it just said when something overloads in people's minds and they can't believe it, then what happens is you have somebody. That, you know, you have somebody just say, you know, oh, well, you know, it wasn't like this or it wasn't like that. You know, just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you see something and your mind just goes into overload and you can't handle it, you just start denying it off the bat. And that's
right.
What cognitive dissonance is. And so when you have, you know, just look at this like this.
But let me say this real quick.
Go on. Okay.
Well, I think part of that, too, is just how we've been conditioned as a culture across the board.
Yeah.
With all
people. Yeah.
I could, real quick, I could remember when back in 1991, my senior year in high school, we had an assembly for Black History Month, and every year we'd have bomb threats because I lived in a predominantly German town. And so, you know, they would send us bomb threats, tell us to get out the school if we go for it with a Black History play or assembly. You know, they'll blow the school up and all this stuff. So, of course, you know, they would just tighten up the security and go forth with it anyway. But I remember one year, it was this guy giving a display of, like, all the things that Black people had created that never got credit for it, like, you know, creating the light bulbs and different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as they're putting this information up, it was this, let's just say, Anglo-Saxon young lady sitting behind me that I had knew personally. I mean, I knew her personally. She was my friend. One of my neighbors across the street was his girlfriend, and he was Black. And when they put up all that information, I mean, you should have saw how it was just like you could hear a pin drop in the room. And then she responded like, Black people didn't create all that. It was like she just could not believe that we were even smart enough to do stuff like that. And, I mean, she was just saying derogatory things. I'm looking at her like, you know, of course, I was young, you know, but everybody was looking at her like, you got 5 seconds to shut up, put you out the building. But I mean, I think that's why though, because once you're conditioned so long and you don't know the history behind something, it is a shock. It is, you know, especially when you start dealing with what we call. I hear it all the time. Me and Tierra actually was talking about this the other day. Man, I can't even think of the word, but white privilege. We start thinking about those kind of things. You know, you've been conditioned a certain way to believe that you are some more superior, or you know, you know, to just in general. You know what I'm saying? So that is part of the initial shock. You have some of us who, as African Americans, that might have a hard time swallowing some of our history and you know what we've actually accomplished. It could be a shock to a lot of us, but. But, I don't want to take away too much from what you was talking about. I just want to
No. That's what cognitive dissonance is a good example. But you know, it's kind of like I think that we need to get off the milk and we need to get on the meat and we need to talk about we need to learn about you know the things that goes on. And I just think too that you have some Black folks that literally will you know. I mean, it seems like they almost act like an Uncle Ruckus when it's like, you know, let's just believe Jesus. I don't care what color he is. Let's believe him. And it's like, I do love Jesus. But my thing is this, is that don't you want to know what it was really like? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure that it was some white Christians that died, went to heaven, was like totally blown away. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man. You know,
well, I can understand that perspective too, though. I mean, I can relate to that perspective because I kind of lean to that direction too. You know, how important is it? You know, but I do think that because of the identity crisis that we have sometimes, I mean, I know that now my identity is in Christ. Go ahead.
Understanding this, bro, is going to help us understand why we're in this. You know, just, you know, you can't, because it's kind of like, you know, just because you have enough wisdom to understand a certain thing, a lot of us don't. And we're turning to Islam. We're turning to New Age teaching. We're turning to, you know, we're turning to all that African, Pan-Africanism and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're turning to all of that stuff when really we need to just, you know, we need to get in here and understand. And this is what gets me. You have a Muslim that says Jesus was black. You go, okay, all right. And then you go, well, did you think that Jesus was, you know, did you truly think that he was this or that? Yes, I do. Well, then why aren't you a believer in Christ? Because
he's a white man.
And it's like, but you just said Jesus was black.
This is the problem, though. And we know the scriptures. Us on this phone, we know the scriptures. We attempt to understand God without the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And everything that's being said is a disconnect when you attempt to understand God without the Spirit. And that doesn't matter what nationality you're from. That doesn't matter what part of the globe you're from. If you attempt to understand God without His Spirit, you're going to find yourself in a dead end, which will cause you to have what you call constant indifference, because you can't make sense of how does it all fit together. Well, the only way you can fit it together is to have God's Spirit, which we know you have to believe in Christ in order to receive the Holy Ghost. So therefore, people have made up their own religions, and they've left God's Spirit out. And so that's why not only are we confused, but they are confused.
Well, let me say it this way. I believe it this way. And to kind of add to your point, years ago, I remember the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. And, you know, and I know there are many people out there that don't believe that God speaks. And I'm not talking about an audible voice, but we know when God deals with your spirit. I remember years ago, he told me that the enemy aligns himself with truth, corrupts it, so they'll ruin the credibility of it. And so that's why you'll have an influx of people who will look at what we've created as a white Jesus, going back to the point that you made earlier, Ty, about, you know, how they painted an image of Christ, which the Bible already condemns that anyway. We ain't supposed to have no images before us anyway of God. But but because of that, we've been conditioned to believe in a white Jesus. And then when you're in a country where your fathers have been removed strategically from your life and your home, and the mother has been made the head of the home, and you have no true identity in this country as a young man, and then you see all the influx of racism and different things you feel you deal with, it's easy to look at a white Jesus as evil, I guess you could say, because of what you've been through. You know what I'm saying? That would happen in any situation. Look at how many people look at churches in a bad way because they've experienced
Jesus.
I know, but they've experienced a bad church experience, and they were under the wrong church or their own wrong religion, but if they didn't process it in a healthy manner, it can make them look at all religion or church as the same when we know it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same effect we've had as black people in this country, especially when you're talking about dealing with, you know, blacks in the Bible and different things like that. It's hard to believe, and it's been a stigma put there because of how we perceived the white man, I guess you could say, in this country. You know, I mean, talking about Hebrew Israelites or Muslims, you know, they believe the white man is a devil, you know. And you
right.
can kind of understand why they have reason to believe that, even though as a
right,
Christian
right.
or as Christians, we take a different perspective because we know the devil is spiritual and he can use people. So it's not
yes.
That the white man specifically is evil, but all men can be evil. But because
yes,
of the
yes.
abuse, because, you know, again, aligning yourself up with something, corrupting it, you're on the credibility of it. So now everything looks bad about it.
Well, see, that, I'm happy you said that, Jay, because, you know, again, man, when I understood this from the biblical perspective, it made me stop looking at what other people look at. I never looked at race like that because my mom didn't raise me to look at race to make differences. But when you deal with the Gentiles, it's a specific scripture in the Bible. I'm not going to quote it because I tell people to go study for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Go study. But when the Bible says that there is now no male nor female, there is no gender, there is no color, there is none of this when you get into the family of God, that anybody can be redeemed if they believe. The scripture is clear. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Period.
Yeah.
Talking to mankind, you know, all mankind. So, you know, that would alleviate the differences that we try to make. But the importance of knowing who and where we are in the Bible, again, it brings order to our confusion. It brings it brings peace where there is chaos. And that's why we have such a problem, because we feel like we're nothing. You know, we feel like when you really talk to a black person and you get to talking to them and understanding their pain and their agony and their disappointment, then you understand they really don't know who they are.
Right.
They really don't know who they are. And furthermore, they don't know who they are in the Bible. So they try to make a belief or a religion to classify themselves to be somebody of importance when you're already important. You know, you are somebody. And I'll say this with you guys since we are on live. What'd you say?
Jesse Jackson, what'd you are somebody.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, but my uncle used to share this with me, man. He's up in age now. When I was a young fella, he used to tell me, know who you are for yourself so nobody can fool you. And that just rang in my head, man, because I've had all kinds of friends from all kinds of nationalities and, you know, creeds, different sizes, big, small, fat, skinny. I don't make differences. I take people how they come. But I had a better awareness of who I was, so that when we started talking about culture, started talking about the different foods and stuff like that we had, I was knowledgeable of who I was, so I didn't get offended, or I didn't try to, you know, make them stop talking about their culture, or I didn't try to, you know, get them to adapt to my culture. We just had a good time. You know, we just had a good time, and we were able to talk and laugh without any stigmas, you know, from either side. And so that's what this would do for those that's listening. It would bring order where there's confusion. With black people, we are in the Bible. You know, we were God's chosen people, and we really need to get off into,
well, let's look
you
at
know.
This. Let's get back to that, though. Let's get back to that real quick. If you look back at, you know, if everybody looks back at even when you're talking about Moses, when God had him stick his hand in his cloak and pulled it out, and it had leprosy, it was white. You know, and it's kind of like when he pulled it out and the Bible describes it as being white, it's kind of like if it was already white, then he wouldn't have had anything to say about it. You know, it's kind of like they would have described maybe the sores. But he stuck his hand in there and it was white. And then furthermore, when you talk about when Moses had helped his later to be wife, you know, and her sisters, and her father Jethro said, you know what happened, and she was saying an Egyptian came, and the, like I said, the Bible had already said that she said an Egyptian came to help them, and they didn't know the difference between him and an Egyptian. Or when you think about was it Joseph that was the right hand of the of Pharaoh? Was it Joseph whose brother sold him into slavery?
Yeah.
Okay, his brothers didn't even know. His brothers didn't even know. They didn't even know that was his brother. They didn't even, you know, they didn't even know it was him. So when you look at things of that nature, you're looking at it and you're saying, oh man. Well, when you slow down and you think about it, y'all know how it is. Like, you know, when things are pushed past you, you know, so many times that you don't stop to think about it. Like, man, the Bible says that you cannot tell the difference between the Hebrews and the Egyptians. And
well,
Joseph's brothers couldn't even tell the difference. They couldn't even tell the difference because they were all the same complexion.
Yeah.
So, you know, what were you saying, Murph?
I was going to say that's why the relics are obsolete with God, because everybody got a theory, you know. But I love the series name, and I love the subtopic, Black in the Box, because we need to get to the truth of it. So many years we have in the black churches, we've heard these theoretics. He died, didn't he die? You know, they get all excited and they start, you know, hooping and hollering, and nobody's really paying attention because now they've been desensitized to go study because somebody's standing up there and hollering and screaming. And they so excited about them hollering and screaming till they don't dissect what's being said.
And that's
going back to what you just said. You know, we hear something so many times till we don't go research it. You know, we just go, we run with it, and then we start believing it. And then before you know it, well, the truth is gone. You know, you don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
You don't even worry about the truth
of the
matter.
When you look at commercials, and you see them, and you know, you look up at the TV, you see a commercial, and then one day you just look at it on YouTube, you know, and you can easily stop it, pause it, rewind it on YouTube, and you see it, and you go, wait a minute, is that what I just thought I saw? And you rewind it, and then you go, man. And then you know, when you see it, you know, either on YouTube or a DVR, you're able to stop it, rewind it, and slow it down and dissect the whole commercial. And then you're like, oh, man, they're really saying this. And I believe that's what the word is. We've had passages rush by us so fast, you know, that, I mean, it's crazy. It's ridiculous, man. We've had it rush by us so fast that we haven't even gotten a chance to dissect things. We haven't even gotten a chance to really talk about Genesis 6 when the angels, you know, when they were fallen angels, they taught man and the Egyptians and Ethiopians. The Bible said that, not Ethiopians, but I believe it's Babylon and Egypt, they had a power that was unmatched. So when you have a situation like that going on, you know, and you know, back then people don't even understand, we've actually gotten dumber. Some of the technologies that they have now, they got from fallen angels from ancient days. You know, and before, this is the reason that God had to sink those cities like Atlantis and all those cities. I mean, those cities, you know, I tell people all the time, like I was telling, I was sharing with you guys the other day, that God has sunken cities that are more developed and advanced than our cities that we live in now. But because of the sin and the idolatry, you know, and that was going on, he had to destroy those cities. But, you know, you did have, you know, electricity. You did have, you know, I mean, heck, they got all these planes and different things and boats. They got those on hieroglyphs right now. You know, this is thousands of years ago. And they got them on hieroglyphs. They got, you know, the Black Hawk plane and boats and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, when you look at what they were riding around in, you know, if we were to get in a time machine and go back, our mind would be blown. Our mind would be like, man, we'd be thinking we don't have any of this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, but
well,
this is why God had to destroy the you know, this is, you know, not trying to get too far off topic, but this is why the flood happened, because of the you know, DNAs being tampered with and all this kind of advanced things that were happening. You know, that's just something for y'all that are listening and that hear this in the archives. That's something for y'all to go study and research. You know, get out of the regular, you know, stretch your mind and your muscles, your spiritual muscles a little bit. But we're about to head into the second half. And on the second half, we're going to talk about Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, it talks about, I guess from about 9 to 28, it's talking about what's going to happen, you know, without you following Christ. What happens, you know, the blessings of Christ are the blessings of God and the curses of God. And I believe that, you know, I will tease it a little bit and say, we'll get into it in a minute, but I believe that what it is, you know, here it is. Yes, I believe we are children of God, but you can't believe that you're God's people without taking the responsibility that comes with it.
Yes, yes.
And
please
so,
touch on that.
And so, you know, I know we say, oh, we're God's people, but, you know, hey, that might be some truth to that, but, you know, that also means that, hey, what you have the responsibility.
Yeah, we
messed up. And we started consulting with, you know, witches and taking care and the fallen angels, and we started doing the devil's work. You know, when you read Deuteronomy, you know, it talks about it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Like they said the other day, Tyler, we rebelled against God.
Yeah.
And
that's
what we did. That's what stemmed all this bondage that we. Let me say this, man, since we're not going to the second half, we're going to deal with Deuteronomy. Oh, boy, I got to say it. You know me, Ty, I gotta say it. But stop blaming the white people for the condition of black people. We are in the situation we in because we disobeyed God, and God cursed the generation. Now, there is redemption in through Jesus Christ. But.
Right.
On a global scale, we are cursed because of disobedience. So stop saying it's white people just trying to keep us down. And
no, well, just like well, this is like when God punished punished Israel through Babylon, and Babylon ruled them for 27 years. You see what I'm saying? And what happened was, you know, God used Babylon. You know, it would be crazy for them to say, oh, well, Babylon, you this and you that and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like, you know, you can't, like you said, you can't cry about that, man. You know, especially when you're not doing what God wants you to do. I mean, like, again, you still got these people talking about we need to come up and rise. No, we need to fall on our face and beg for God's, for the Lord's forgiveness. And once we do that and we start doing that, see, God, people don't understand, God changed the heart of the king, man. He has the heart of the king in his hand.
What does Scripture say? If my people were to call by my name, sit down with themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, then he'll hear the land and hear from heaven. But we're not going to do that because we're too arrogant. We're too proud. In our exile, we're too proud and too arrogant to do that.
Oh, like man.
Said, we want this, and we got to have that, and it's our time to shine, and, you know, God gonna bless you now, and all this kind of crazy stuff. You gonna have this money. Get, man, look. Boy,
like
look
Creflo
out,
and old boy running across the stage with the money.
Yeah. Jay, what you gonna say? Because I'm getting excited now.
But, you know, that's a good point, Murphy, because I was just sitting here thinking about pride before you even said that. And I believe that was some of what was going on with the Tower of Babel, too. You know, I think, I mean, I kind of wrestle with that idea of saying we are what we are because we are cursed. You know, and the reason why I say that is because, though I do believe we can bring generational curses on ourselves, but then I guess I'm kind of skeptical to say that only because then you got certain religious movements that believe black people are cursed, like the Mormons.
Like, Jehovah's Witness?
Mormons.
Latter-day Saints?
You know, and I mean, this is always a sticky topic anyway,
but
because
see,
you don't want to sound like, you don't want to sound like a Hebrew Israelite, but you don't want to sound like a Mormon, but then you got
to
actually deal with the truth of it. So, you know, this is a tough one for me. I'm wrestling with it because I'm the same way. I grew up, you know, just like anybody else. You know, I heard the white man was this and that. But then where I grew up in Stockton, California, we were always one of the top six cities in America that were the most racially diverse. So I had friends that were Vietnamese, that were Mexican, Filipino, black, Anglo, whatever you want to call it. You know, I dealt with a lot of different people, Samoan, anything you could think of. So, And then it gave me a balanced perspective as I grew up. So I didn't grow up with a black pride type of swagger, I guess you could say. I saw that all men were created in the same image of God. People are all evil. Some people, we all born into sin and iniquity. So, you know, I have a different perspective on it. But I do want to dive into this and get a better understanding for myself, because some of this is fresh for me. Because, I mean, growing up, I always thought, like, the same thing you said. I always said there's something to our people. It's something. It seemed like we've got a curse on us or something. And I started to study the sons of Noah probably about 10 years ago, but then I backed away from it because it was just too overwhelming at the time. And, you know, I started dealing with my family. So, but, yeah, this is a tough one. But, you know, go ahead. I don't want to distract you from what you were saying.
No, I was going to say that we have to walk a tightrope in a sense, because here it is, like you said, we don't want to sound too Hebrew Israelite. We don't want to talk about the Mormons. And, see, I will say this. The Hebrew Israelites is closer to the truth because they get into Deuteronomy. However, the Mormons and the Latter-day Saints and all them, they talk about Ham. And they say, you know, well, you know, Ham is the one that's gotten cursed and blah, blah, blah. And then I believe, you know, I believe it was Shem that actually kind of turned away from the Lord. However, the thing about it is that we as a people got proud. You know, once we had that knowledge from those fallen angels, you know, we got proud. And we're, you know, again, we had a power that was unmatched. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like, here it is, you know, you're dealing with all kinds of, you know, all kinds of futuristic equipment, you know, and everybody else is not. You know, you'll get a haughty mind real quick, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it when you talk about that black, what was it, a black king that was, he worshipped Islam. And I think his name is Musa something. I can't remember, but he was like the richest king ever. And this is a black guy. And this is, he was a real dark brother. And he carried so much gold dust. Like he had a 68 camel entourage wherever he went. You know, he had so much. He went through Egypt and affected the economy when his crew went through there. You know what I'm saying?
That's not a parallel, huh? To
Solomon.
You
said what?
So you sure that's not a parallel to Solomon, huh?
Well, no. I've had folks say that. I've had folks say, man, Solomon was the richest. I said, no, Solomon was the wisest. I don't know if the Bible said he was the richest. I know the Bible said he was the wisest man ever. Did anybody ever know anything about that? Did it say Solomon was the richest man? Murph?
Don't quote me on that.
But I think the Bible talked about Solomon being the wisest. I mean, now they did say though that what he got paid every year was equivalent to $500 million today.
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't quote me on it, but from my studying, because Solomon's wisdom was so outmatched. You had rulers that were paying him, you know, they was coming to him for knowledge and information, and, you know, how to.
But that doesn't necessarily translate over to dollars. Like,
No, but you got to hear me out. No, but you got to hear me out. Even when Queen Bathsheba came to him, she brought all kinds of stuff, all kinds of, you know, different riches and wealth and stuff to Solomon because of his wisdom. And Solomon was so wild. Like he had glass. They had never even seen glass. They had made glass, you know, glass out of sand. You know, they pressurized it. They heated it up to a certain temperature and it made glass. The man was, I mean, people, you know, they was paying him. They were paying him for all the wisdom that he had. You know, they was trying to get that wisdom, but they couldn't get it because it came from God. Now that's why I said don't quote me on, because I haven't, it's been a while, man, since I said
Solomon.
But Solomon was something else, man, even when he built the temple.
Yes, he was.
It was all kind of,
but you know,
all kind of stuff in it.
You made me think of something, though, because that's when I believe if you look at us as a people, you know, we talk about Solomon being black and everything, because we've been so talented at everything we do, it seemed like. We built civilizations and we've done great things. We saw what Nimrod did. That would cause one to get lifted up in pride.
And
go into false God worship and then start taking away God's glory. Instead of giving God the reverence and the glory for what we do and have, we begin to make ourselves gods.
Right.
You know what
look at how we act on Facebook if we post something about what we invented. You know, it's just like, you know, there's a certain amount of pride, like, you know, which I can kind of, that can be understood, you know, being that we always get stomped on, you know, we want to feel like, man, we finally got one, you know what I mean? But it's just like, when you think about it, I mean, heck, you know, that you're right, you can easily be prideful, you know, that can easily make you prideful.
But to me, it's like, we fought so hard, especially in this country, for approval and validation.
Yeah,
that, you know, I watch people. I mean, I'm looking at some right now. It talks about black intellectuals, and it's amazing how many of us pride ourselves on that. But really, we do it because we're really trying to find an identity in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Instead of coming to Christ and understanding. I mean, that's why so many people wrestle with, struggle with the things that have been going on with police brutality and Ferguson and Eric Garner, all these different things.
Yeah,
because, you know, we feel like we've been oppressed and we haven't had a voice and an identity, that anytime something like that happens and then you say something like, well, we do need to focus on ourselves as well, then, you know, you're going to do a whole bunch of backlash because it's like, well, why focus on that? Why don't we focus on the good things that we're doing? I think it should be a healthy balance, but at the same time, it just seems like we're always trying to prove ourselves to people. When we don't have to.
But
a person that's secure doesn't prove themselves to nobody. Even if I am intellectual, even if I am doing something good, I don't have to prove it to you because I'm not seeking man's validation. As long as I know God honors it and validates it, I'm good for it, and I give him the glory for it. And that's what we've gone wrong in a lot of areas.
You said it a little while ago, a healthy balance.
Yeah.
See, nutrition wise, if you eat too much healthy stuff, I'm not telling anybody to eat bad. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I know what I'm saying. If there's no balance, your body will begin to get sick because your body needs certain fats, you know, to burn.
Exactly.
If you don't have any fat, your body will get sick. I can't say what you'll get.
Some people will binge, and it's just like, you know, you get tired of all that. You're just like, you know what? I'm letting myself go. Forget it.
So now you're
on the other side.
I'm one of them.
Let me share why though, because it's always a cause and effect. You know, our spiritual man ties into our physical man, which also ties into our mental man. Well, we are incomplete because there is a void in us. And that void must be filled by God. So even health wise, even in your body, you struggle with the absence of being incomplete. So your body still has to feed on a negative.
Something.
Like
something.
I don't want to go over nobody's head, but like when you add a negative to a positive, it becomes I'm talking about integers now. When you add negative to positive, it becomes a positive. You need a balance, like Jerome said. You need a healthy balance. You can't be too spiritual. You can't be too worldly. Paul said, you got to become all things to all men,
man.
So that you can say you can't be in the clouds all the time. Look at what happened to Enoch. He stayed in the clouds so much he ain't healed no more. You know, he walked so close to God, he went home with it. You know,
that ain't a bad thing, though, brother.
No,
it's not a bad thing.
No.
I wish you saved me home right now.
I'm just
right.
Come on, y'all.
I'm like, I don't know.
Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got what you're saying, man. You know, anybody listening. Let me go ahead and get this break in right quick. If anybody on the chat line is down for the day. You want to call in and listen? Give us a call 646-716-6715. And if you want to talk, just push 1. You'll be put up in the prompt, and we'll know that you're ready to talk.
Give me that number.
But, let me hold on. Let's dial this back though.
No, I said give me the number. Give me the number one more time. Give me the number one more time. Maybe somebody in here.
646-716-6715.
Yeah.
And what we want to—I forgot to write down the actual scripture or set of scriptures. I believe it's 9 through 28. I believe. But we're just going to talk about it this week, and y'all, please forgive us. Everybody's trying to scramble this week. We had a lot of things going on, so next week we'll be a little bit more polished and back at, you know, in our usual form. But
we out of shape.
Today, you said what?
We out of shape.
Yeah, there you go. We out of shape, man. We've been out too long.
Yeah,
Our last broadcast was in September, so y'all bear with us. You know,
gotta
we're
burn
out of shape. We're gonna get
back
in shape.
Yeah. We gotta burn some calories.
So you know, we're getting back in the saddle, and it's gonna take us a little bit to get back to our normal selves. But you know, each week we'll be making some major leaps and bounds. But I just wanted to say though, in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about, you know, and it describes, you know, almost event for event. You know, I would say this, you know, for anybody that wants to look it up, I just want to say that the elites call America the New Egypt. And when the Bible talks about ships, you know, they'll put you on ships, talking about, I guess we could say God's people, you know, because they didn't do what God wanted them to do, because they didn't, you know, they didn't obey God. You know, the Bible says that they'll put you on ships and you'll be going to Egypt. Now, my thing is this, if people were to think, there is no ship that you have to take to Egypt if you're already around Egypt. If you're already there, there'll be no ship that you would have to take.
All right.
So if you say ships and you're talking about going to Egypt, you know, and America is being called, you know, by the elites, the New Egypt, I mean, that's prophecy in itself right there. And it's saying that you're going to be sold like cattle, saying that you're going to be, that you're going to grow vineyards that you won't even be able to eat. That sounds like a cotton field to me. You know, but, when you think about it, it's describing what you're going to go through. It's describing all the pestilence that you have to go through.
It'd be like,
you know,
Egypt.
Again,
yeah, it'd be like it was in Egypt. Yeah, the plague
right.
of Egypt.
It'd be like it was. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I believe, though, I really do believe that, and I think Murphy said it, I don't think that we're going to get better. I think we're going to get worse. However, I do believe this. That curse is specifically for people who don't follow Christ. Now, if you do follow Christ, you know, I don't think that even as a black person, I don't think that you're going to, I don't think that you're going to be affected that much. I believe that if you follow Christ and you do, you know, you work His principles, I believe that, hey, I'm not saying that you won't have anything bad or things won't challenge you, but I do believe that the Lord will cover you, give you faith, give you strength and favor, everything opposite of what the curses were lined out in Deuteronomy. But I will say this, they claim that the people, the so-called Jews that are there in Jerusalem now, they claim that they are the chosen people. If you're the chosen people, God said in the Bible that the chosen people would be persecuted. They're not persecuted. And my thing is that what the Germans did ain't persecuted. Well, you know, they did. I guess it was for their time. But they're today, they're not going through no persecution. They're the ones that are in power. So, you know, we're the ones being persecuted. I mean, when you have countless of black folks getting shot in the face, you know, with the hands up, you know, and just other countless events, you know, I mean, that's persecution. You know, they say, oh, you know, they talk about the Holocaust, and they will constantly keep pumping the Holocaust. And they will say, I mean, they got all these movies about the Holocaust. The Holocaust said that, well, it was said that there was 3 million people that died, but really they found out that they were lying about that, and it was closer to almost being 1 million people. However, you had over 100 million people die from the slave trade. Over 100 million people. And then when that stopped, then you had Jim Crow. Then when that stopped, now you got what you have today. So it's like, you know, I mean, everybody love our inventions. They love our dances. They love our music. But they hate us. They love how we look. They love our style. You know, I mean, we, you know, it's just like, but the.
Let me just talk real quick. Would that be considered cooning? Or is that just jigging? What do they call that again?
What's that?
Well, you know, what's all the dancing and the jigging. Is that a form of cooning?
I think. That's at the wrong time. Now, when you just dancing and chilling, that's one thing. But when you, man, that's that coon train is coming. Coon train
is coming. Of course, you know, everybody has their perspective. I think there's a couple of perspectives on the coon train, but, you know.
Man, yeah,
I know,
funny,
right?
Man.
Hey,
that
hey,
is
I
funny.
Like that song, right or wrong. I like that song, right?
Right.
Man, when I was playing yesterday, it helped me get through yesterday, man.
What about black on black crime?
What about black on black
crime? Boy, y'all
see y'all look at that song,
yeah,
Coon Train, on YouTube.
Man, I ain't finna miss it, y'all.
Tariq Nasheed. But I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tariq, the guy that did the Coon Train, he did a thing called, he did a documentary called, Golly.
Uh-huh.
I have to look this up. But he did his documentary basically talking about, a lot of black history. And, you know, the brother did, you know, a good job. But the thing about it is, I just think that when it came to Hidden Colors, that's what it's called, Hidden Colors. And he has three different DVDs on Hidden Colors. Now, I will say, if you can, you know, as they say, chew the meat and spit out the bones, it's good because, you know, he has a lot of his Pan-African friends on there and different things of that nature. And what gets me, again, what gets me is they look up this history. They talk about they can't deny the Lord's miracles or anything of that nature. And they talk about a lot of history, which is true. And they know that that there was a nation of dark people. However, you know, it goes back to what Murphy said is you cannot understand God without the Holy Spirit, period.
Right.
You cannot understand God without the Holy Spirit because when you sit up there and say, oh, yeah, well, Jesus was black and this and that, but then you turn around and then you say, oh, but that's the white man's religion. No, why wouldn't you be able to pick out the bad things? Why wouldn't you be able to say, well, they twisted that. They twisted it to make, yeah, I mean, it's contradicting.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like you don't have the sense to say, you know what? They twisted that.
Well, I say it this way. I think I posted this on Facebook. But through much affliction, extremes are always created. People teeter-totter from one extreme or another. It always happens.
Yes. I like that post. That's true.
That's true,
man.
Very true.
We go from one thing to another. I was saying we go to one thing to another, and that's why the Bible tells us not to take, you know, different doctrines. You know, don't believe everything that you hear, you know, because like they just said, you'll go from one extreme to another extreme. And then they say Jesus said, they say I'm in the mountains, don't believe them. They say I'm over here, don't believe them. They say I'm over here, don't believe them. You know, you got to stay focused, man, because you'll be going from one thing to the next. You know, my aunt used to say, growing up, I'm sure y'all heard the expression, don't take no wood nickels. You know, that's another way to say it, Jay, for what you said. You know, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. You know, don't go from one extreme to the next extreme. Don't follow every wind of doctrine that somebody say, oh, you know, I found out about this, so we're going to organize this, and you go following that. And then they find something
I'm
else,
glad
and then
you
go following
that.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier.
I know.
About the curse, you know, about being cursed. You're not cursed because God intended you to be cursed, but you're cursed because you disobeyed God. So the way that you come back from the curse is to obey God, you know, and ask for forgiveness and repent and don't do it again. That doesn't mean you're not going to deal with sin on another level, but at least you conscious of, I messed up and I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And so, you know, that's how we're covered under the dispensation of Christ, you know, because we come back and ask God for forgiveness. So you don't have to be cursed, to answer Jerome's question earlier. No, I'm not Hebrew Israel. I mixed that all up. But that's how you tie that in, because I'm not saying that, you know, we're cursed forever. No, that would alleviate Christ. You know, what I am saying is that we need to be sure about something and stop running to everything.
Man, what started me on this journey to this series was just actually losing friends, you know, to just different, you know, they weren't believers. I mean, it seemed like they were genuine, but I guess they weren't as close to the Christ as I thought, and next thing you know, you turn around and they're into voodoo, or they're in a new age thinking, believers, and they, you know, some of them are atheists now, and I mean, you know, some of them, you know, are into some weird things, and it's just like, it's so sad to see them turn their backs on Christ, because, and a lot of black folks, we all have family members that have even left the idea of living for Christ, because, you know, the way they paint Christ, and this is why, again, we had to do this, because the way that they painted Christ to be and to look, Christ is supposed to be some soft little white man, you know, and here it is, you know, we as African American, you know, keep falling for some soft little white man, not understanding that this dude, you know, I don't want to call Christ a dude, forgive me, but Christ was not, you know, white.
Weak.
And he most definitely is not soft. Because when you're sitting outside of the money exchanging place, you know, and you tying up three strands to make a whip. I mean, I could just picture him talking to himself out there, braiding that whip up, and just you know how you have a whip or a switch, you gotta you got to test it out. You got to whip. But I can just picture him just testing that thing out. And he just went in there and went to town on the money exchanges, man. You know, that ain't somebody to solve. That's somebody who's passionate and who's about love, you know, and who don't play. And then I'm going to tell you, when he comes back, you know, I told some of these, you know, friends of mine, I said, let me tell y'all something. I really hope that you are right about what you're saying, because I'm going to tell you this. If you, you know, turn away from Christ and he judges you and you go to hell, it's best that you never knew him. You know, this is what he said. You know, and my thing is this. If a church had done something off a group of people from certain churches that done something, that's fine. Walk away from them, but don't walk away from Christ.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
that's my testimony, man. I tell anybody, man. I'm going through a lot of things. I know we don't want to call it, brother. That's true. I know that, but I tell them all the time, man. I may do a lot of things in my life, but I am not leaving Christ. I am not. People that try to tell me his name is Yahshua and Yahweh and all this, and I'm like, that may be fine. You know, I'm not Hebrew. You know, not by birth.
Well, the thing about it is, what they're saying is not a lie. That part.
Because when it comes
the name of Jesus always worked for me. I never Yeshua HaMashiach. I never said that like that and then something.
Yeah.
But I've had Jesus stop Jesus stop bullets for me.
No, man. You gotta call him Yahshua, man. You gotta call him Yahshua, man. You can't. Boy, I'll tell you. Yeah. You know, I tell him, hey, you know, that may be fine for you.
Some of them brothers go real far with it too, man.
I'm gonna call him Jesus.
It's a meme that got a black lady and it's broken in half, and on the top meme it got the black lady saying, "Fix it, Jesus," and then the bottom meme, it got a Mexican guy saying, "I'm trying, señora."
That's a prime example. That's a prime example. Again, we go back to the topic. That's why we need to know where we come from, because, you know, these are old sayings, man. When you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do. You know, I'm not in Africa, so I'm not gonna call God what I would call him in Africa. Because if nobody can interpret him from over here like I would call him in Africa, then, well, I'm not helping nobody.
No, they call him Jesus over there too. Everybody around the world.
But I'm saying here. I want the listeners to hear what I'm saying. If you're in Bangkok and you over there talking about God, they can't understand you in your language. So you call him what they call it.
Right.
You're not gonna go over there in that way. You know, in America, they don't care about America. They look, man. Hey, we ain't over there. You know, and sometimes what I'm saying is we can be too critical about the wrong thing and miss the point.
Right.
We can miss the point.
But see, that's the part of the Black Hebrew Israelites that I don't like, because they're focusing on the Sabbath day when Paul said in the New Testament, he said the Sabbath day should be every day.
That's right.
On the Sabbath day and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, all that stuff is minor. You got to figure out what's important and what's not. There are some things that are just practical applications in the Bible, like when I think Jesus was saying, you know, it's a blessed thing or some a good thing to basically wash your hands before you eat. You know, I mean, that was a practical application. He wasn't saying it was a law. And then now you got these jokers making a ritual out of it, you know, bobbing their heads up and down, you know, to have a whole little water ritual. And all he said was, all I said was wash your hands for ye.
All that is legalistic. That's just legalism.
That's it.
Because
Scripture
says itself that the letter killeth, but the spirit bringeth life. So
they
focus on that. But they're nothing more than them legalistic murderers. They're just killing people with the law. Because they themselves are dead anyway.
That's it, Jay. That's right.
I got one, y'all. When they talk about I don't know why I can't think of it, but when you have the wine and the crackers,
communion.
You know, and what God was saying was sit around with some loved ones, eat, and talk about the Lord and discuss the Lord. That's all he was saying. But what
we took it as,
get our grape drinks together and our little wafer crackers, you know, and our Welch's grape juice, you know, and that's, you know, and all that. He didn't mean it to be that way. He was just saying, break bread and talk about me over dinner.
Yeah, well, check it out, Ty. Check it out. The scripture says that as often as you do it, you do show the Lord's death until he comes.
Right.
He didn't say you have to do it all the time. He just said as often as you do it.
On every first Sunday.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to do it every first Sunday. And watch this. If you do it every Sunday and you're not right, then you'll put yourself in condemnation, because if you're just doing it for ritualistic purposes and you're not doing it understanding the significance of it, then you're sinning, because you're partaking in the Lord's body, but you're also practicing laws that Christ freed you from.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like baptism.
I'm going to say this, y'all.
Baptism doesn't save you.
We're getting ready to gonna shut it down, and I'm going to ask y'all, any of y'all, anybody want to, we're going to shut it down. We're giving about 10 more minutes. Anybody want to press 1 and talk, just let us know. Merv, Jerome, y'all got any last words pertaining to the subject? You know, we're going to pick up next week, and we'll actually have more scriptures. And as of now, we all had to really kind of just dive on in here. So forgive us for that. Yeah. But anybody got any last words?
I will just say this. I mean, like I said, we're talking about history. This is some heavy stuff. I some things I actually talked to you guys back over, talked to about, you know, off the air. But I will say, with everything that's going on in America and with these grassroots movements of Hebrew Israelites and different things, we got to be careful not to get caught up in the Black Pride and become insurrectionists.
Right.
Because, you know, when you look at a lot of these guys who are teaching about history of Black people, which is in a lot of cases pretty accurate, but behind them there's like an undertone of insurrection. These insurrections,
mm-hmm.
they go against governments. Some of these people could be so dangerous that, you know, they'll do what we see what's going on in Paris, or what is it, Paris right now, I think it is, or, you know, with it's been all over the news the last couple of days. Anyway, you know, you got these people want to revolt against governments and things, and some of them will become martyrs for what they believe in. So, as Christians,
one second, fellas.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we got a caller here. Hold on 1 second. All right. Hey, Aaron, did you want to go live? Hello? Hello? Oh, okay. I thought that they wanted to go live. All right. Sorry about that. All right. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, we just got to be careful to keep a healthy balance with the stuff, stay with the scriptures.
Because
at the end of the day, you know, all it comes down to is, do you know Christ and him crucified? You know what I mean? So make sure we stay balanced.
That's it, and I just add some more to what you just said. My last words is what I always say for those that don't know me. We're not perfect. We don't have everything together. And when I say that, I mean all of us as human beings. We must turn to Christ. You know, we have to go back to Jesus, man, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, and we have to get the word out here to everybody and let people know that, you know, God love them. We don't have to proclaim as we've been taught to proclaim, but let your life speak for you. You know, let people see
That's
you being nice and kind and, you know, demonstrating the characteristics of God, love, joy, peace, patience,
That's
and meekness, and let them come to you, because God doesn't force himself on us. You know, he asks us to accept him. You know, and so as we expound on this topic, you know, by no means are we saying that we want people to think that we're saying that, you know, Blacks are the only way
And that's the only the way to God. No, we're saying that we need to know the truth of the matter. But once again, Christ is the beginning, the middle, and the end. And so we got to go back to him to get clarity of what he wants us to do as we walk this physical life. So I would say to listeners, man, you know, just keep your heads up. And it's a new year. We got a lot coming, and I'm just happy to be back on, and I just want to continue to express my love for God. So,
amen. And I want to ask too, if there's anybody that wants to know Christ or doesn't know Christ, and I just you know, I invite you to get a hold of one of us or even, you know, just if nothing else, just ask him to show you and ask him to show you the truth and ask him to with a sincere heart to come into your life and let you know who he's made you to be. Yes. And we're talking about this stuff because, again, this is truth for truth's sake. And if that's the way it was, I think that we shouldn't tamper with it. But because the lie has been told so long, we feel comfortable with it, and we're just like, no. You know, but I believe that this truth, I really believe that, you know, it's time to really pull back, you know, these layer of lies. And then, you know, and then allow God to give us wisdom on why these lies were told. And so, you know, I just really, I thank the Lord for what he's doing and what he's already done. But, me and my boys, we're about to be out of here. I just want to thank everyone for, you know, just taking that time and listening to us, even the people in the archives. So,
yep.
You know, thank y'all much. And, you know, we're going to get ready to be out of here. But, we'll see y'all next week. 7 o'clock.
I feel like you.